This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Travis, how you been?
Good.
I got something.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, I did three interviews while you're on vacation. I did three interviews. It was a lot of fun. I see why you do them. But by the way, we got to do an interview together soon. We'll figure that out.
Yeah, we really do. Some of the ones we talked about that I think you did, I like wrote down questions like, oh, I hope I could be there for that. And then I never am.
But I got your questions in there. But anyway, so I did three interviews and I thought I'd make it fun. I like to call this little trilogy of interviews my blacklist interviews. Do you want to know why?
Please.
Because for these next three interviews that I do, folks, in whatever order they come out and whatever episodes come in between them, you're only going to get first names because for the security of the people I interviewed, they still got a living to make. So you're only going to get first names, but it's going to be about the overall topic of the industry they're in.
Are these guys like in government espionage and that's why you have to keep their identities a secret?
It'd be nicer to say that if they could, but being here in this country, you got to be smart with what you say.
Nah, truth is, our podcast is not that cool or well-known to do that.
Yeah. But anywho, this interview is about retail.
Oh, sweet. I love retail. I love going to brick and mortar. I love doing Christmas and birthday shopping there. Better than Amazon, because I like something just surprising me that I don't know what I'm looking for and being like, oh, this will make a cool gift.
Here we go.
Hey everybody, it's Thomas again, back to give you another interview for Give Us the Launch Code. It's been really having fun doing this. You know, Travis and I are just taking turns with these interviews, and I got another great one for us today. Been really curious about the retail industry as a whole, so I thought, hey, why not interview someone who works in retail? So we got a brand new friend for the podcast here, Jester, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Thomas.
Oh, happy to have you. All right, so we wanted to talk, I had some questions for you about just overall the retail industry, how it's grown so much. I mean, I remember it so much well from the 90s and then now into 2020, and we're getting close to half the century here. Mm-hmm. It's evolved so much so that it's even different from what our parents used to talk about. Like, hell, you don't even see Sears around as much. It's that changed.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. First off, just is retail something that you are passionate about, or is it just a job?
So what's funny is retail was supposed to only be a temporary job, as I'm sure that for a lot of people when they're younger, it starts off as. However, after working with the company that I work for, it's been really great to me. It's provided a lot for me as far as being able to experience what I can in my life and everything. So what turned out as just a job ended up becoming something that I wanted to pursue as a career, especially with a lot of the opportunities that we have in this company.
Okay, that's cool. So, what made you apply for the job that you're in? Like, what made you apply just at the beginning of your whole career in retail?
So personally, for me, it was very interesting because I followed like the standard format you usually have in life. You go to school, you get your degree, and then you start working. However, right after I graduated from UCI, what's interesting is that it was only supposed to be a temporary job. I needed to start paying bills. I took out some student loans and I used grants and whatever I could and exhausted it to the point where I already finished my degree. And
so as you went further with your education, it was...
So what's interesting is I I was supposed to go into further education, but it was tough because I wasn't able to balance my work life and my school life. I don't know. I honestly don't know how some full-time students do it.
And it's crazy, right? Those ones who do 24 credits and they're like,
yeah,
still.
It's ridiculous. Like, I look at them, I'm like, how are you guys doing it all? But for me, like, I wanted to go back to summer session and boost my GPA, be a little bit more competitive for grad school. But what with the initial plan of doing that, it didn't follow through because I wasn't able to do that balance.
So, okay.
Working and ended up being my priority rather than education. And then after about a year to 2 years with the company, I actually ended up getting promoted. I moved further into the management ladder a lot quicker than I thought I was going to. And ever since then, and you know, with that promotion, you get more money, more benefits, things like that. And with that more money, I ended up, like, I got into a relationship at the time, and you know, you're able to provide, you're able to socialize, you're able to go on dates, things like that. So go on trips. So the company was really good for me, and it's been good for me ever since.
Do you think that is for most people here in America, where they're doing both school and work, and then just somehow work just seems to be the more not desirable, but more attractive route in the overallness of, like, well, it's working here already, and I don't even have to go further with learning something. I'm just doing it here.
I honestly think it's just timing. Everyone is different. You might have one individual that wants to, like, you know what, like, this has been my goal since I was a child. I want to become a doctor, a lawyer, a computer engineer, anything like that. And then that's their end goal, and they focus on it and prioritize it. Whereas someone who's been working towards it, but then something changes, maybe something happens with their families, maybe there's some sort of essential need that happens where they need to start making money as soon as possible. That might be, that then becomes their priority, and then that's where, you know what, I'm working, and this is providing for what I need, and this is what, so this is what we'll do.
So you've been in, how long have you been doing retail, by the way?
So retail, I've actually been with the same company for 12 years now.
Wow,
coming
okay.
Coming up on 13 years, so I've been doing retail coming up on 13 years now.
And doing that so long, for as long as you had, because 13 years is a long time. Do you recommend this to literally anyone that you, like, loved ones or anyone off the street? It's like, this is a job to do.
I would recommend this job to anyone, especially considering how it applies and affects me, because it's able to provide everything that I need for what I want in my life. It just depends on the individual. I don't know what other people have as far as plans, but other people have different priorities when it comes to, like, time off, pay, wages, exactly what the work entails. So, I mean, it just depends on the individual and what they want, what they're looking for. But this is, retail is definitely an industry that I would recommend.
I like how you recommend it, because I talked to another friend of the podcast who's in the fast food industry. Mm-hmm. And it seems like both fast food and retail, as a almost an overall social stigma, it seems like people overall, like, look down on these jobs for who knows why. It's hardworking.
Yeah,
but what do you say to that, when people who are like, yeah, you're in this, it's like, you could have done this, or it's like, yeah, you flip burgers, or you stock items, like, eh. What do you say to that?
How it applies to me personally too is it's actually a stigma with my family. I mean, I come from a family, I'm Filipino.
Okay.
And so what's interesting is, I know it's maybe a, I don't know if it's a stereotype or some sort of, but Filipinos usually go into healthcare. On my father's side, they're all, my family on his side, they're all in healthcare, nursing, and anything like that, or into something in that capacity. But so that's why, like, it's actually interesting, because, like, and it's tough sometimes, because when I first started working for retail, my family kind of looked down on it. Or it's tough because, like, it's like, oh, how do you work? How do you like working for there? How do you like working there? Or et cetera, et cetera. So it was tough. Even now, like, I still feel like my parents, they're happy that I make a stable income. They're happy that I make more than they did when I was growing up. However, I know that they had different aspirations for me and my siblings.
Yeah.
So overall, like, yeah, it's tough. I mean, I even I mostly experience it within my family, but even outside, like, the way that some customers will talk to myself or employees for the company I work for, like, they are always talking down. And I mean, we're all humans. Like, it's just human nature. Like, isn't it just it's just human nature to want to just be respectful and kind? Like, why do you have to talk down or have these expectations and like, oh, this is what you're getting paid to do, so you need to do it.
And also, then why are you shopping here? It's
Yeah,
why eat here? Why shop here? Why spend your own money that whatever you're doing here? Because it's like, without this, like, the system crashes when you think about it.
Yeah, everybody needs groceries. Everybody needs food. Everybody needs
clothes, electronics,
everything. Yeah. Everything that kind of, and everything in anyone's household, everyone's going to need it. So, like, that's another thing that it's kind of what I find reliable in this industry is because as, like, technology continues to improve, like, some other jobs are going to be, like, at risk. And but as we keep moving forward, like, people are still going to need to have what they need in their household to survive.
I'm glad you actually brought up how technology is evolving, because I've noticed this more and more when I've been shopping, because my mom always took me grocery shopping, as probably anyone's mother did back then. And when you're growing up through the 90s, you went everywhere. And I've noticed it more and more now shopping. When I moved out, now that I have my own kids, you know, you're shopping more and more as you grow up. I'm noticing the technology changing just in retail alone, as well as fast food. You have, you know, self-checkouts and self-kiosks. What's your thoughts on that? Like, there's just a self-checkout as a whole thing becoming a part of the shopping culture.
It was definitely a change. I think it was for the better too, because as businesses grow, as companies grow, especially in retail, I mean, the need for better traffic flow for customers is necessary.
Okay.
I mean, as part of any retail experience, like, you want to have a good shopping experience, and waiting in lines, that's a terrible experience. I mean, anybody who's shopping and then they see they have to wait in a long line or anything like that, it's like, oh, wow, like, really? But with the advancement and as far as it goes with self-checkout, I mean, everybody, just like any individual, everybody's shopping experience is different. Maybe they need 15 items, maybe they need 20 items, maybe they need something large or small, depending on the size of the item. So to have the options of doing a self-checkout or to do a cashier register checkout, I think that's just for efficiency and for an overall experience, a shopping experience.
So you see that as the expansion of that register being the 15 items or less designated register. This is just expanding on that idea even further.
Yeah, I mean, an express lane goes for all retail, whether it's groceries or other your big companies like Target, Costco, Walmart, things like that. So I see it as, like, it's kind of like an express lane. You have customers that are going to be wanting to shop as quickly as possible, and they might not have it. I mean, how do you compare a person who's buying one item versus a person that's paying 20 and they have to wait the same amount of time?
Okay.
Like, that's why I feel like even though the self-checkout may overall decrease the necessary need for an employee, I think for the company experience in general, I think it's necessary, and it is a healthy addition to the industry.
Because I see what you're saying, because of the mentality is that the customer pays your check, might as well make this about them as much as possible. So it's in and out, it's fast, or if they want to talk to someone, there's still that option kind of thing.
Yes.
It's just giving them the options.
Yeah, I completely agree with you.
I mean, it's kind of
like a harmony, or like a combination of where, like, obviously we still have our old school, like in the 90s, 2000s, when there wasn't self-checkout, you have people that want that to have that
human experience, almost
human experience,
like, just talking to Deborah every Saturday.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of thing.
Like,
yeah.
And you have certain people where, especially you get to like your people that are retired or things like that, or your housewives that, or your man wives. I don't know if you could say that.
Yeah, basically house husbands.
Yeah,
right?
anyone who's doing their shopping or that needs to take care of their household, like, they actually look forward to having that experience, having that conversation. They look forward to, hey, Deborah, like, it's Tuesday again. It's and then you have that experience where that's sometimes where if they're mostly at home, or that's a part of their an opportunity for them to socialize.
And then going further with the big change that is self-checkout, do you see any other changes that should kind of happen with retail, like, to even further just evolve it with efficiency and just experiencing more?
Overall, I think that the goal of any company in order to be successful is to make the experience or the process easier for their customer, their clients, et cetera, et cetera. So I believe we're moving forward overall in retail to make things more efficient and more and less costly overall, so that way we can continue to be a successful company and keep having our customers and clients. So as far as anything off the top of my head, I mean, self-checkout was a big factor. I know that some companies, they have like a pre-scan, or they like, even Amazon. You can shop yourself and you don't even have to have an experience. You can
It's like it saves your history. Exactly. So it's just there. See what you mean. Yeah.
And there's also online retail too, but if we're talking about retail in general, but I mean, yeah, I mean, whatever, as long as companies are moving for a better and more efficient shopping experience, then that's what we're going to all move towards and then to be successful.
Once one company does it, the standard's going to move that way, kind of like how certain people do that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's any company. I mean, when the BlackBerry was first released, and then out of nowhere, then Apple became. And then so then like companies, competing companies or companies in the same industry, they're going to always find ways to compete with each other. And that's healthy for economic growth.
That just keeps it all going forward.
Yeah, exactly. It keeps the economy moving forward. And that's what we want. And I look forward to seeing what's next.
The one question I had, I would like to double back, because you said you were moving up the management ladder. What, you being a leader in your company, what are some challenges you face when you have to, you know, you got to stick to the company policy, but at the same time, you have to remember, you know, serving the local community? Like, is there ever a conflict, or does it actually always flow together parallel?
Well, at least for the company that I work for, I mean, it's kind of parallel, because we take into a lot of the laws and a lot of the, like, a lot of humanitarian and a lot of donation and things like that. So what's great about the company that I work for is that it actually does work parallel together with serving the community. Because what's great, well, at least for my particular company, I'm sure all the companies out there, we have a lot of like community projects, community donations, things like that. So whether it's like donating to a specific
like Salvation Army, or like a local church, like stuff like
just, churches, visit, or companies that actually donate to the communities. Like we have programs in place that do that. Schools, we have, what's great about what's at my particular company is that we actually have a donation program for schools and programs for schools. So like, whether it's like giving away like school supplies, backpacks, pencils, paper, or like volunteer work, like I feel like what's great about it is that it always comes hand in hand. And with this particular company that I work for, like they are always looking out for the community.
So basically what you're saying, as long as any company has a good research team, you're never going to be, you're always going to be parallel with local community needs and beyond.
Yeah, I feel like it's important in general, because most companies, it's all about their image too. I mean, you want to make sure that, I mean, any company that wants to be successful, they're going to have these type of programs in their policy, because they want to make sure that, oh, look at what they did today. I mean, I've seen in the news that there've been like, oh, et cetera, donates this amount, or they even do a little clip like, currently at the school right now, this is provided by et cetera company. So like, I think I think it's just required, and it's necessary to be successful.
And just so basically, as long as the research team does their job, there's never actually going to be problems. Basically, citizen in whatever community they are across this country, you're going to be taken care of, because the company did their work. They know what you need. They know what you want. Nothing's ever going to have an issue with that challenge specifically.
Yeah. I'm sure that's why they have research departments in multiple companies, is because they're always looking ahead. What would be beneficial for the company?
So basically, it's almost like when they have those, when someone has a social media person, it's like, well, yeah, we're staying ahead. We're thinking not just the crossing the T's, dotting the I's, we're thinking, what's that one random factor that could happen?
Yeah.
So with the digital age basically growing, you just need to have someone in that department, and then you'll always have everything taken care of. So then someone in corporate and someone on the ground, they never have to be in butting heads. They're always working.
Yes.
Okay, that's
everyone's
cool.
Everyone's always on the same page, or everyone's always on the, so for my particular company, if there's any necessary like what's great is there's always memos getting sent out and things like okay. that. Like, hey, this particularly happened, like whether it's positive or negative. So we're always
kept in the loop.
Kept in the loop, yeah. Or we're always aware. It's about awareness of what's going on with the company.
Can you imagine what it was like back before emails, like having to wait for a new memo? It's like, wait, this happened? Yeah, man, it's been happening for 4 weeks.
I know, you have to hear it like, it's like telephone where you have to hear it from somebody else.
Yeah,
you're like,
calling stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or they posted on their, I mean, back in the punch time, they had punch clocks.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we had to actually punch.
They probably just had it there or like team meetings or anything like that. But yeah, I mean, it's so much more convenient and efficient now that we have technologies such as email or text or things like that.
I can't imagine what my mom went through. Like, it's like, oh yeah, no, we just waited for the call or a letter. And it's like the meeting was once a month, but who knew?
Yeah, I know, like some incident or something might happen and then you find out about it like months later or something like that because it takes too much time.
And you're like, oh, well, we figured it out on our own. I don't know why we're getting this letter. You know, speaking with like having to serve the community and always being ahead, being with what you've done for almost 13 years, does this ever affect the way you have voted, or is it always like, you know, you've been voting the same way always your whole life when it comes to elections and stuff, or even propositions that come up?
Yeah, I mean, it growing up, like you have your parents' influence and things like that, whatever they may be voting as far as the whole voting process. Mm-hmm. For me, like whatever political party stance I am on, I feel like my job and where my career is at, it is a factor or it is a influence. However, I still will look at everything as far as what the candidate is about or like exactly what they're propositioning or what they're standing for, things like that.
Okay, so the thoughts are always different yet sometimes similar depending on the situation, but you really, your job is still your job, your beliefs are still there. Like it never really cross sections as much as one would think with any career some people have.
Yes, like okay. I don't let my job influence too much about how that about for that particular
voting process
okay. goes. I mean it's not that big a factor, but I mean if some candidate is trying to do different changes or things like that, I mean it's a factor, but it won't. But my job doesn't necessarily influence it to that degree or have that big of an impact.
One question I'd like to ask, because that it was, you hear it with stories when you just talking with people on, you know, here and there. I'm curious, so people can know, because it's, even though it was 5 years ago, we still feel the impacts. Being in retail, what was that first year of COVID like?
A nightmare.
Oh, can you explain, like, just as much as you can from beginning to when it finally started to, you know, plateau off and get back to normal?
Yeah, that was, I mean, obviously COVID was a crazy time for everybody and it's something that's going to be in the history books, but for retail in general, my gosh, because everyone had to stay at home. We had quarantine, mandate.
Yeah.
So everyone's living at home, no one's going out. So just like how retail is necessary to supply your household, we were one of the major businesses that stayed open and weren't impacted as far as like job layoffs or things like that.
But it got like, it was the opposite.
It was, yeah. I mean, we didn't necessarily, well, because of quarantine mandates, like you had to restrict how much people could be inside the
building.
Building.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Inside the building or, so with that, like we didn't necessarily even need an increase in employee base or employees because we can only have a specific amount of registers open.
Wow.
We only needed a specific amount of people in specific spots in the company. So what the major thing that we just saw was just the craziness that came with it when everybody was everyone's going for your toilet paper, your paper towel, your Lysol spray, Clorox wipes. Oh my gosh, like people were doing what they could to try to like hide it. I mean, they were hiding items whenever they got there because the company that I work for, we had to, and I'm sure other companies too, they had to put limits. We had to put restrictions on this.
Yeah.
Because we had to make it fair for everybody because everyone's trying to survive this pandemic. Everyone's trying to survive. So like in order to make it equal for everybody, we had to put these restrictions. So obviously with restrictions limited supply, people are going to get frustrated. People are going to get angry. There was a point during, I mean, we, in the beginning, like we had to restrict how many customers or people had to come in. We had to create little like barricades, things like that. We had to have two people like stationed at our entrance. There was even a point where we had to have a law enforcement on site.
It just kept going and going.
Yeah, because it kept escalating, and it kept you had your fights. It was crazy. I mean, we had our customers being upset and people who didn't believe in masks. So then we would have to tell them, no, you can't come in. Like, we have these, it's by law, or et cetera, et cetera.
We're just doing our job. Like, because the whole thing is just following the law just to keep the doors open.
Yeah, exactly. We're just following the law. And as any company, they're going to do their best to follow the law. So even by doing that, but the demand and the need for such items was that bad that, like, we had to have that law enforcement. We had to have those restrictions, not only for the health, but also for the safety of everybody.
That's crazy. And it was a full year of that too, huh?
Well, how it went in the beginning was, I mean, it was learning for everybody. I mean, okay. We had to, we had to be COVID compliant. I think, I don't know if that's the term that we use, but we had to, what was crazy about my company is, I mean, I can only speak for what happened for our experience.
Yeah, okay.
Like, we had to put up barriers. We had to create those necessary barriers between person to person, because that's how it was being spread. So, like, every register had to have barriers up.
Plastic glass kind of stuff. Plastic glass. Yeah, so I saw that at places when I go to, like, Ralph's, I would see that.
Yeah, exactly. Whether it's grocery or anything, and then everybody had to put up their little barriers around their registers when they had interactions with members or customers or clients or anything like that. We had to, if for whatever reason an employee contracted COVID, we would have to shut that department down. We would have to shut that particular substation down, and then we'd have to get a third party cleaner. They'd have to completely do a whole sanitation process. Wow. It was crazy. I mean, in my company too, and I'm sure other companies too, like, they even had to shift over employees elsewhere, because back during COVID times, like, if you even had contact or close contact with another person that contracted it, you weren't supposed to be at work.
Oh, that was
you
it.
You couldn't go to work.
Wow, okay.
You couldn't go to work. You had to be on that specific quarantine process. You had to, you had to wait the, I don't know, what was it, like 5?
I heard 10 and 15.
10 to 15
yeah.
days, yeah. And then you had to test out of being positive for COVID in order to come back to work. But we would have to shift employees like to other spots, like other buildings, because not only to keep everyone healthy, but to keep the business going.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because every department has specific like skills that are necessary that you're trained in.
Oh, so you had to get skills outside of this.
So if you had someone that was skilled in a specific, like, say it's like groceries and it's meat cutting, or say, for instance, it's like producing something, or you'd have to shift them over because that's a specialized skill. Because
that deep cleaning you're talking about only took a day, but then everyone else was still gone the 14th. So you had to.
Exactly. Wow. And then once you open back up, guess what? You're out the 6 or 7 employees or 10 employees or whatever. Where are you going to get
fill the gap.
That support. Where are you going to get that support from? So
damn.
When you mentioned before, like, how it was affecting jobs, how it may have created or anything, I mean, obviously, there was a need for a decrease in overall labor because of the restrictions. However, because of employees going out or employees being out sick with COVID or et cetera, like, we were just shifting employees up and right.
Wow, that's insane. And I know during COVID too, like, it seemed at one point, like, after about 3 months, it started to find, like, okay, we're getting calmer. Did the whole George Floyd incident kind of shoot it back up at all a bit, or did it just at least added annoyances, or just that didn't change much in the first year of COVID?
Yeah, so I mean, we saw an increase as far as overall, like, obviously there was always a need for sales for during that COVID time, but when that George Floyd incident occurred, oh my gosh, they ended up putting a curfew on, and but I don't know if it affected a lot of businesses. It might have affected businesses as their closing time.
Okay.
Because they wanted to make sure, because they did do that mandatory curfew. But I know that in areas affected, especially where it occurred at, like around the Los Angeles area and everything, like, I know that it was because of possible rioting or the riots that were occurring or any type of protesting, like, a lot of the businesses were affected and they probably slowed down.
Do you think, now that I think about it more too, with the whole having security guards and someone on site that is armed, is that really going to be more and more part of retail? Because you kind of see that more nowadays. Like there's always an armed guard just somewhere, not a security guy, but an armed personnel. Is that going to be kind of a part of the seeing that whenever you shop, you think more and more as time goes on?
I think so. I mean, you go to some stores like Walmart or Target, they have things that didn't used to be locked up, they're locked up now.
Yeah,
Like it's like deodorant too. It's like interesting things like even in like they have like a makeup or
makeup's the big one,
makeup, yeah.
yeah.
In groceries they always had like in your Ralph's, your Albertsons, they always had liquor locked up. But I mean it's just where we're at now. I mean, I don't know if it changed from the times when it was like when it was COVID and everybody was kind of just looking for the items that they needed and they wanted no matter what. Or maybe it's just where the economic climate is right now, where I mean we have a lot of homeless people that are just trying to survive and they're just going into these stores that are and just stealing. And that way they can get whatever they need, whether they're trying to resell it or just use it on their own. So security in general I think is necessary and it's just I mean it's a necessary presence. I feel like a lot of retail stores need or retail companies need in order to prevent theft.
Anything that now retail companies will be investing more and more as the years go on now because it's just going to be part of the norm almost.
Yes, I agree.
Do you think some retail companies will not be doing the third party? Do you think it'll be like an in-house, like, hey, we trained our own people. They are like, they are the target, armed security department. Do you think that could happen
I don't know.
as it goes on more?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like for our for the company that I work for, I feel like we need a necessary third party because there's necessary skills that are for it. Like they have to go through specific training, they have to go through specific courses,
Okay.
and I also think it's just about like overall safety. Like if you're going to work for your Walmart, your Target, your Costco's, your big stores, your like if you're going to grocery stores or anything like that, when you're applying for that job, you're not applying for security, you're not applying for anything like that.
Yeah.
When you're thinking of retail, you're thinking you're going for that. However, you have your third party companies that are specifically security, whether it's patrol or they have a license to carry or anything like that. I think that's why we'll always be using third party. Companies will always continue to use third party companies because that's what they're
Yeah,
for.
do you think that's better? Like, that's just more of the safer route too for everyone, members, customers, and people who are the shoppers and the employees. Is that safer? Just have the company to a third party because that third party is trained top bottom. That
Yes.
is third party. It's just better third party.
I
You
think it's
think?
just a third party. Yeah, I think third party in general is just it's the route we have to go, or it's the route we take because when customers are coming into that company or they're about to shop, like they know that whoever's there, I mean, I know that, I mean, I'm not sure, but I know that some security companies, they sometimes rehire or hire like law enforcement or old law, or retired law
Oh yeah, the
enforcement
retired
or
ones, yeah.
ex-military or things like that. Like, and there's kind of like a specific type of like presence that they have, or there's like an image that they have. So like,
People.
if you have like your standard retail employee that, you know, doesn't that all they've probably done is just retail, but then you have someone that's has experience with it or has been trained. There's a reassurance that you had when you go into shopping that you know that they're capable of either preventing any emergency or handling any emergency that may occur.
And then one question I had too, because I was talking about the evolution of how retail's going. What is one big thing have you noticed since your day one of working till now? What's that big change that you've seen over your 13 years? Like the way people are shopping, maybe people are actually buying more dairy than they would red meat. Like what have you seen that's the big change over 13 years?
It always comes in like small increments and it kind of always goes into timing
Okay.
because then you'll have people where like depending on what product is being released that might become more popular
Okay, yeah.
or it just depends on the times like technology like when you're back in your 90s and your early 2000s I mean TVs weren't TVs like you have your tablets and things like that
They
like,
weren't there
they weren't
yet.
there yet, and then that became a demand. It's a standard in any household. I mean, you have your, when you have your recalls and when you have your possible like shortages, like when, like something that we tend to experience from time to time, and I think we even experienced it this year, is like there was an egg shortage. I mean,
yeah,
there was the bird flu that happened.
That was crazy.
And then they ended up having to euthanize, or I don't know.
They basically euthanized a bunch of chickens.
Yeah, they euthanized a bunch of chickens out of safety for the human population, so that they're not shopping.
Oh, of course, yeah,
for their own health. So then that became another item or a product where it became in demand, and it fluctuated, and it became something where we had to put a restriction on.
But, so it just seems like you're saying it's just an ebb and flow change. Just whatever's happening worldwide will then just kind of trickle down in domino effect, and then it'll reset, and then it's just waiting for the next thing to happen as you're just flowing through it all.
And what's interesting too is how the effect and the impact that social media has on that. Because then you recently, like I think there was something on TikTok where it's like the Dubai chocolate.
Yeah.
And now everybody, every retail store, every grocery chain is trying to get Dubai in. And then even before that, like it just depends on what kind of trend is going on, where any successful company, they're going to like, especially the research teams, they're going to like pick up on them and be like, oh, look at this. What can we do as far as getting
to get in on that stuff? Okay.
Or like energy drinks. I mean, energy
drinks. Oh my gosh. It's like, it's changed. What was it? It was Red Bull, Monster, Prime.
Exactly, yeah.
And then now it's Rocks. Like it always, there's always a new energy drink, it seems like.
There always is. And there's always a different variant, and they're always going to be competing against each other. But it's so funny that like, you'll have your most popular items, and then you'll have the ones that are trying to compete and get up with it, but then they're not. But you have this, it's crazy the kind of impact that social media, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, everything has on a product and selling it and buying it.
And then one thing that's always been interesting to me when I watch like the news and you see stuff, it's how certain retail companies will have stocks, some don't. What do you think stocks play into this? Is it just an extra step? Is it beneficial? Or is it just like, it doesn't, it's just there?
It's crucial.
It's crucial.
It's
okay.
Crucial for any company, because when you have people investing and they're purchasing these stocks for the companies, with that, I mean, you're able, it just, it provides the opportunity. No, it supplies the opportunity for growth. So when you have your companies that are expanding, your Starbucks, your Targets, your Walmart, your Costco's, your
McDonald's and all those, Amazon even too, yeah.
Amazon, the big one. When you have them and people are investing into it, a lot of companies, when they're doing their profits and everything like that, whatever, with their profits and losses, when you have people that are investing into stocks, because stocks is like, it's digital. It's not like, I mean, if you wanted to withdraw it or if you wanted to cash it out, you could do it at any time, but as it goes with any, as it goes with the stock market, I mean, you always want to invest and grow it. So when people are investing and putting in that capital into that company can use that capital. Let's expand here. Let's open up another location here. Let's purchase land over here.
Okay.
So stocks are important. I mean, it's important as far as the overall success and growth of the company. So yeah, it's necessary.
Do you see it also as a bit of a morale booster, because I have my uncle who's closing up his time with Smart and Final, and you know, having some stocks there, it seems more of like you feel like I really am a part of it. And yes, I have the name tag and I clock in, but do you think stocks give, when employees buy them, do you think it gives that morale booster of like, I really am here?
Yeah, it shows the commitment that they have and the stability they know that they're getting.
Okay.
Because I feel like when you're investing, I mean, if you have like investment bankers or whatever the
investors. Oh, the analysts. Yeah, I see what you mean.
So when they're doing it, they're trying to make the biggest profit. They're trying to go from 0 to 100. But then, what I feel like what stocks do as far as overall perception of the company is it shows that stability.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're putting it, if you know Disneyland is running for like $100 or whatever,
$200
a share or anything like that, like you know that it's doing really well. And then if you have your Amazons,
Are they almost like 1,000 or 3,000? Oh, Amazon's like 3,000 plus a share, I think. Yeah, it's
wild
insane.
What it first started off with and then where it's at right
now.
Yeah,
I think it started off at like 80 something, I remember right, and then it just bam.
No, yeah, so I feel like, yeah, exactly. But I feel like, yeah, when employees invest into their companies or invest into any company, like it shows that they are committed to it, that they believe. Like you don't invest in something you don't believe in.
Okay.
So that's why I feel like for me, like I have particular shares. I have shares in my company, and it just shows the kind of belief that I have that I'm working for the right company, or that it's a company that I know is going to continue to be successful and continue to grow and earn in over time.
All right, and for one of my last questions I have here, I know we've kind of talked about it with technology and stuff, but in the overall sense of how employees, the employee culture of retail, and then the shopper as well, what do you see the future of retail going for, like 10 years from now, 20 years from now, or even when you're about to retire and the new generation's coming in? What do you see is going to be the future of how not only we consume it, and then also to how people go about working it? Do you see like something big happening, or do you see it really, it's plateaued in a way where this is probably going to be it for almost 50 years? Like this is good.
Well, that's interesting, because like for, at least for the company that I work for, I mean, some of the systems we use are from day one, and we're we're maybe 30, 40 years into the establishment of that company.
Oh, so you're still using the same tactics.
Or even 50 to 60 years. Yeah, so the same training and the same skills that are being taught to every employee when they start working for the company, I don't think that's going to change. Okay. However, what's great is as technology continues to advance, I mean, we have to adapt. Mm-hmm. So like everyone now has a smartphone. So everyone has access to that. So now we have ways to shop on your phone, or if a retail industry or if a company needs like Costco needs a membership, Target, they have their apps. Walmart, they have their apps. Walmart, you can even shop at Walmart, you can even shop on your phone, and you even have the payment on there. Oh, so, okay. I mean, it's just like, as far as it goes with retail, I feel like overall, like I said earlier, As long as companies are moving towards a better, more efficient shopping experience, that's what they're going to do for their customer. Oh yeah,
the training is going to always be the same. It's just, from what I'm hearing, is the tech is just updating the tech. That's really it. Like yeah. Everyone, like the registers aren't what they used to be, where you had to pull the lever and it was ching thing. It's like no, is now it's just all tap. And soon, it's interesting you said smartphones. Registers could be as big as a phone now, probably in the future, huh?
Yeah.
Like it's just really the tools change, but the mentality never does.
Yeah. What's crazy is like even Amazon, like I don't know if you've ever done their self shopping in their Fresh, but they have, it's all on their cart. It's in the basket.
Yeah.
So they actually are able to, if you have an item, you're able to put it in there, whether I think you scan it or if it checks the weight or anything.
Like that. So it does it yourself.
Wow. So you do your shopping, it charges you, and then you just leave. No human interaction at all, which is crazy because like depending on the type of person, maybe you're introverted, maybe you like not having to socialize
yeah.
like that. But then for me, like I love like talking to the employees that I'm shopping at, or you know, like you like having that human experience. So as we continue on, as the future goes on, like I don't know, I feel like the direction that most retail companies are going towards is trying to limit as much human interaction as possible. I mean, you have your curbside pickup.
Target does that big thing.
Target does it. Home Depot does it.
Home Depot
does it. Dude, it's crazy. Like retail stores, like, and I think it's for like your screw, your light bulb,
but
like
still,
that.
It's Home Depot.
I know you have some guy come up with some lumber and they're curbside pickup and they're loading up your lumber and everything like that. Like it's wild. Or your patio set.
Oh my god! Here's your whole barbecue.
Go to a Home Depot, I'm telling you, dude. Home Depot.
I'm going to see that next time. Yeah. I got to see
Home
that.
Depot,
that is hilarious.
I mean, fact check me. But
here's your lawnmower.
I swear. No, dude. I swear. Fact check me, but I want to say that a lot of...
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so curbside pickup was an advance, or is kind of an adaptation and a new feature that a lot of retail stores are doing. So that's also limiting. So to where you don't even have to leave your car anymore.
You just drive. That's it.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, wow.
So everyone's changing it. I mean, there's still, what I like though is a lot of companies are kind of doing hybrids. The word I'm looking for. They're doing hybrids. They're doing both the human interaction and the shopping experience, where you go inside, you see what's new. I mean, I don't think that'll ever go away. I hope that never goes away, because I actually, for a lot of people, I feel like they enjoy going into a retail store, seeing what products are new, what products are there,
and then shooting the shit.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that. Yeah,
exactly. Or grabbing their regular products that they're shopping. But I feel like every company, they're moving towards a more hybrid experience when it comes to shopping, and we'll see how it goes moving forward. And I'm excited to see how it's going to.
I do like that idea, though. I hope, because I know Amazon does it, like they track your history. It is kind of a cool thing with grocery shopping. You never have to make a list, and it's just like, so you, like you said, like there's the apps, the membership cards, mm-hmm. and subscriptions. It's just like, hey, we know what you picked up last week. It's the same thing. It's like, yeah, you know what? That's like, you never have to, I feel like writing lists for grocery shopping will go away soon, because it's just like, well, here's my list. I'm only adding or subtracting a thing or two. It's like, all right, they know what I want.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be something like that's a trend soon, like really talked about, where it's like, I don't write, like, you, when you go to like a Hobby Lobby or even like Staples, you'll mm-hmm. see stuff made where it says grocery list and it's a big pen and paper and it has like 50 pages, like, you know, on a pad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that might be a thing of the past where it's like, it's digitally there now.
Yeah, a lot of things are, anything that's going digital, I think that's, I mean, because like you have your Sam's Club and you have your Costco's that they have digital memberships, or you have your Target where they have their, you just scan the barcode or things like that, and that's tied to their rewards app or anything.
And the history of you, the customer.
Yeah, they have that. Okay. So it's crazy. Like that's where we're at, where the digital age is coming, where it has come, and it's being redefined, really.
Polished.
And the retail industry either has to keep up and adapt, or they're going to fall behind and fail, and who knows.
Well, and the last question I have, and this is always a fun one I like to do, I'm going to name some retail companies, and I'd like you to, because since you know how the sausage is made, because you've worked in retail,
I like that sausage is made, right?
You know how to do it. What is your rating from 1 to 10 on these companies? So, for example, Kohl's. What's your opinion on Kohl's?
I would rate that an 8.
An 8? Okay. How about Target?
Target, 8.
8. Walmart.
Seven.
Stater Brothers.
Seven.
Okay. Vons.
8.
All right. Here's a fancy one. Whole Foods.
Ooh, 9.
9. The Burlington Coat Factory.
You're not gonna like this, but I've actually never been to Burlington Coat Factory. So I would an A, not applicable.
Not applicable.
What would you rate that?
I like it for the fun find. So I rate it like a 5, because when you're at a bulletin, you're not going for like, I know what I'm getting. It's like, let's see what happens. Like, it's such a hodgepodge store. It really is a hodgepodge place.
What is it? I've never been.
So Burlington, Marshalls, and Ross.
Oh, they're like a Marshalls.
Oh, so you've been to a Marshalls.
I've been to a Marshalls.
That's it. That's all it is.
Oh, okay.
So you get what it is. It's like when you walk in, you're just like, there's no set like grid like Target and Kohl's has. You're just like, I might find something fun for a cheap ass price. Yeah. Let's see. They, for some reason, every time I go into Burlington Coke Factory, there's always like 5. I'm not joking. 5 pairs of Timberlands for some fucking reason at size 13. It boggles my mind. Every time I go, I'm like, it's the same 5 at size 13. What the fuck's going on?
That's wild.
And they're Timberlands.
I know. That's brand new.
But it's like, it's 5. It's always 5 when I'm going there. I'm like, who's getting size 13 on the regular?
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's an expensive, big-ass, thick boot.
All right.
So it's like a Marshalls and Ross,
Got it.
So what do you think of those? Like
Marshalls and Ross. Ross, I give a 6.
A 6.
Same thing with Marshalls.
Okay.
Yeah. But when we're rating this, is this just like overall experience?
Yeah,
or are you talking about quality.
Experience, quality, and it's like they're doing their job, because one, you being in retail, you're like, no, they're doing it. So like you said with Target, like, yeah, it's an 8. Like they're doing their job.
Got it.
Yeah, there's room to grow, because one, no one's perfect, but we've seen Target have some moments. It's like, really? That's what you're doing right now?
Okay.
So it's like that. It's like, it's perfect. It's like, it does the job. It's like once in a while, it's like, you got to go. It's like everyone shops at Walmart. We all have to do it.
Yes.
Do they have the best stuff here and there? No, but damn, sometimes you get a big ass bag of chips for $1. It's like, you can't beat that.
Yeah.
Dude, I did that once. I'm like, it's $1 for 58 ounces?
Yes. That's why I love the shopping experience. That's why, I mean, people love a good deal.
Yeah.
I don't think you can walk around, you could ask 10 people, and 10 out of 10 people are going to tell you, oh, there's a deal, or that's a good deal.
I'm going to go wherever it's at. Yeah.
So that's what's great about the shopping experience. But yeah, I stand by all my ratings.
Best Buy.
Oh. I rated a 7, but in general, I'm just sad because growing up, Best Buy was the spot.
Yes,
you get
the
everything
shit.
There. I loved Best Buy so much, but then I've heard recently that like some of them are closing locations.
Yeah.
Or like they haven't been doing well, and it kills me. That's why like my initial like response wasn't a number. It was just like, damn, Best Buy.
It sucks what happened. Yeah, because that used they to got like, rid of all physical media.
Circuit City. Do you remember Circuit City?
Dude, that's where I bought Reservoir Dogs, the 2-disc special edition, okay. The 10-year anniversary. I know, and then it's just gone, and you're like, but it's Circuit City was the last place to have, remember, HD DVDs?
Yeah.
Remember that? That was the thing.
That was, I always thought that was a weird thing. You went from DVDs to Blu-ray, and then you had your HD, and I'm like, what is
it? And it was like, what's the difference in Blu-ray 1?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, that's, I remember Circuit City. There used to be one in Rossmore, and I was there, and then when I remember it was closing down, I'm like, but it's Circuit City, like the commercials.
Exactly.
And that Best Buy outbeat them, but then Best Buy's like this, yeah, no, we don't sell Blu-rays anymore.
No.
We don't sell music. Adapt. Remember when their music first went away?
Yes.
I was like, but you guys had...
Yeah, growing up CDs.
Yeah, but it was the selection they had. They had everything.
Yeah, that's why. I have too much memories. Growing up, I felt like Best Buy was always like...
It was the coolest place.
Was the go-to spot. It was always like, you had your Staples, your Walmart, your Best Buy. When you were a kid, you always wanted to go to Toys R Us. That was always a big one too.
When Toys R Us left?
I know. A part of me died.
Yeah.
A part of me died when Toys R Us. I was like, that's like my whole childhood. I don't know what's going on anymore.
There was one again in Rossmore. And I remember when that closed. I was like, dude, but it's like Toys R Us in the rich community.
Yeah.
Like, aren't the rich people supposed to be able to have this?
I know.
Like,
it's great. Yeah.
You know what's funny? The Toys R Us in Rossmore got replaced by the Burlington Co Factory.
Okay, my Burlington Co Factory goes down to 4 now. I did not know that.
That's good. That was good. I like that. No, you lost. All right. And then thinking of more places. Ooh, just remembering memberships. Sam's Club and Costco. What do you think of those?
Sam's Club, I would probably rate an 8.
Okay.
Costco, probably a 9.
A 9. I love it too. I love the food court so much.
Oh, I love $1.50 hot dog. Where can you get that?
Nowhere.
It's ridiculous.
And it's like, it's not a small hot dog. It's a hot dog.
It's a big hot dog.
The only thing that kills me is they lost churros. I remember there's no more churros there, and I was like this.
I was sad when they.
But the cookie's thick, and I ate it once. I was like, I shouldn't be this good. I'm mad. I love it. I got two more.
I know. I love it because it's gooey in the center, but it's crispy. Like,
but it holds gooey. Yes. It's not the fall apart gooey where you're like, oh shoot, the chocolate's melting, and it's like thick.
Yeah.
I wish all retail places had a food court. Like, I wish Target's food court used to be so good, and now it's just like crap.
Yeah.
It's basically like a discount Pizza Hut.
Yes, agree.
I wish everyone had a food court the way Costco has a setup, because it's like, no, like, I don't care if, like, the pricing is great, but, like, if they're all were like, okay, I get it, it's like maybe the hot dog's like $6, fine, but as long as it's good.
Yeah.
Because I hate that Target's like, oh, you get the popcorn and everything, the bags overflow. It's like, hey, you want that personalized tiny half mini pizza, the cheese from Pizza Hut? I'm like, did you guys make it back there or was it shipped?
Yeah.
Like, the hell?
IKEA, though. I love IKEA's food court.
That's a good food court. You can only
get it at IKEA. That's what I like about that.
I like, speaking of, like, okay, you said IKEA's food court. I do enjoy the meatballs.
Yes.
It's a staple. It should not be that good.
Yeah. And the ice cream cone.
Yeah. But it's like, when you travel to IKEA, it's like, no, I'm going to go to the food court. And it's like a sit-down restaurant, though, for some reason.
It is. It's very nice. It's actually nicer than a lot of places that I've been to.
I was talking to someone the first time I went there with my wife, and someone said, oh, no, this is our date night sometime. I'm like, what the fuck is that?
I'm actually guilty of that.
Yeah, it's a date night.
Like, it's actually, like, it's really interesting because, like, when you're just looking for something random, or if you're looking for anything, like, you just never know. So it's like, it's an experience. I love that they have like a display section and then a shopping section.
Yeah.
But then you can just like look around. Oh, like, how would this look? Or it even gives you like designing ideas and things like that. And you're able to eat there.
And like sit down, eat with waiters and like people like, I'll grab this for you. Yeah, let me serve you. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's amazing. I love IKEA.
There's a funny IKEA thing for you real quick before we end. I forget the name of the YouTube channel, but about 5 years ago, a guy on YouTube filmed an entire 14-episode web series in IKEA with, like, cameras and a little bit of a casting. No, they never knew. Ooh. Because you know how big IKEA is. You get lost. He was able to film an actual sitcom. Like, legit, like, the rooms were, like, characters' rooms and stuff. I forgot the name of the channel, but I just remember seeing it on the news where it's like, no, yeah, a guy did, like, an entire television series using IKEA as the stage.
Did he get sued?
No, I heard he didn't. It was because he did it. Wild. They didn't know which IKEA he did it at. because he was like, you get lost in IKEA. It's so big. All those rooms are like their own apartments.
Oh, and so I see.
He did it like with a handheld camera, like, you know, because technology, you can do a small camera.
Yeah.
He had a little cast and crew, and they were able to film 14 episodes.
That is wild.
I'm going to try to find it.
You should. If you find it, I'm
going
to
let you know.
Me.
But yeah. It's like, isn't that insane where it's like, IKEA is that massive.
Yes, it
you
is.
Can like it makes you think like, damn, Hollywood, just go to IKEA and film
yeah, exactly.
your shit.
Yeah.
Like it looks like home. It sometimes does. I'm like, does the shower actually work here? Because this is a nice shower.
It's really nice. I love going to IKEA.
I love their little studio apartment setup because like, no, this is the size. How much is rent? Like,
I know, right?
I'm gonna sit on this couch and watch some sports.
That's what they should go to next. Apartment housing.
Oh, dude. Amazon's selling cars now. Might as well, IKEA.
Amazon's selling cars?
They're selling used cars now.
That is
you
wild.
Can buy a used car online, Amazon.
Oh, that is so cool.
Like you said, the need, the evolution of it. It's insane what you can think of like, okay, yeah, you can buy that now.
Yeah.
I think you could probably do your wedding through like get married through Amazon soon.
Yeah, yeah.
IKEA.
Oh, yeah, that's where we're going. And then other companies are going to have to keep up and have to compete.
Oh, who has the better efficient?
I know. Better soon, you'll be getting like packages, like wedding packages. You can get them at Target or Costco.
It's
or
just
Sam's
great.
Club.
Wedding registries are fun at retail stores. I did mine a little at Target. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna scan everything and see what I get. I know, someone I used to work with when I used to work at In-N-Out. He like scanned the PS4 as a joke and he got it. I'm like, what the fuck? You see? He's like, they were like, well, it must be an entertainment system of some kind. I'm like, whose grandma bought into this crap?
Wow.
Well, that wraps up the interview, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to do this. Did you have fun?
I did. Thomas, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to see how this ends up.
Yeah, no, thanks again. Everybody, once again, this is Jester for Retail and another great interview for Give Us Launch Codes. Have a good day, man. Thanks again.
You too. Thank you so much.
And that was part one of my interview trilogy. What did you think?
Yeah, it was fascinating to learn about always fascinating to learn about the retail world. It's interesting all the technological advances made in like retail, brick and mortar retail, especially. It's nice to know that, you know, there's still a future for that, and you know, it's not going to be all online.
No, that is a nice thing to know that online didn't and won't do what we all thought it would back in like 2008, 2009.
There's still people, still including myself, people still like to look at the things and touch them.
Well, yeah. Like, who doesn't like to?
It makes it real. Whereas, like, if it's online, it's a picture. It's not real until it gets to your doorstep, assuming, I don't know, something doesn't go wrong with your order and you're like, you get a refund. You're like, oh, well, that was never real.
And then you have to go out anyway then to return it.
Right.
But what's interesting, too, like you said, with the tech, especially with this interview I had with Jester, it makes you think, like, damn, when grandma was working the register, like, it was like pen and pencil, like, remembering to add in the tax. It's like, can you think, like, imagine now, like, now it was back then, nowadays, we're just like, doot, doot, scan, dee, 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 automatic tax in there. No, back then, grandma was like this, carry the four, divide by five. I think the most interesting part for me with that interview was just the conversation about self-checkout, how back then it was, you were in a line at the register.
Yeah.
And it was operable with a two-person, you know, the cashier and the bagger.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have either the stereotypical register, the 15 items or less, and the self-checkout.
Yeah.
And usually all of them are manned by no one or just one person nowadays.
Usually, like, my experience at a grocery store is, like, there's the regular checkout, and there's like, multiple aisles, but they're never all staff. It's, like, one normal checkout, one express lane out of the two that's there, and then there's the self-checkout. Maybe there's someone there, but if something goes wrong, you gotta wait like 5 minutes for someone to actually show up and help you. I mean, if I have like a lot of stuff, I just do the normal checkout with a person, because it's like, you know, you got the roller thing and it generally goes by faster. If I'm like buying two things, then I go to like self-checkout anyway. I did hear something like a while back that like some companies, and I don't know, maybe it's just certain stores in certain cities were like scaling back or taking their self-checkout lines away because they figured that would actually create more opportunity for thievery. Like, I found that interesting. Like, how? So you do need to hire people to pay people money to do that.
I think about 10 years ago, the comedian Bill Burr made a joke about that with, like, because back in, let's say, 2009 till about 2015, the rise of self-checkouts were really everywhere. Like, it was it was, like, noticeable everywhere. And he made a joke around that time saying, like, if it's self-checkout, you better fucking pay me to check out my own shit. Because back then, someone was paid to do that for me. I emptied my own cart out, but you put it back in. And if I have to do it both ways, I'm just going to walk out.
Yeah,
I'm literally going to walk out. And when I've been stopped and I said, well, first of all, hire me then. And then when they don't know what to do, I just walk out. I'm like, what are you going to do? Like, it's self-checkout. It's like, all right, I'm just walking out. So you bring up thievery. It's like, yeah, it's like, one, the factor is, yeah, it cuts down on thievery. But two, it's just like, you know, like, you need a human there to do that process. I remember back in the early 2000s, like, every line was filled because everyone was working the aisles.
Yeah.
How it was all the time.
That's like when my mom would take me to the grocery store as, like, a wee little kid. And I didn't have a tablet in my hand because those didn't exist yet.
No,
and
you were part of the experience.
Yes, which is why I know how to look both ways before crossing the street.
Yeah. And it's like, and no matter if it was a Monday morning to the Saturday, you know, 12 o'clock rush.
They were all filled.
Always, all the time.
And so, like, I figure, like, I have to imagine, like, kids now, the smart ones anyway, they'll go to a grocery store and there's, like, 8 to 10 aisles for checkout aisles, but only 3 are staffed max. And they have to, I imagine a smart one's got to be thinking, why do they have like 8 checkout lines if they're only going to use 3 at a time? And like, well, once upon a time.
That's what pisses me off about Targets. It's like, why do you have so many, not just a single one, doubled up?
Dude, freaking Best Buys used to have like,
oh yeah, 14.
Was it that many?
Yes.
But I remember like several at a freaking Best Buy. And now I go to a Best
4.
Buy and you go to the same like area where customer service is to buy something. And it just looks wrong to me.
They're all manning the same post, actually. I'm glad you brought that up. Customer service return mm-hmm. are also doing the checkout.
Yeah.
And there's 4 checkouts, 2 customer returns. And I'm like, I remember Best Buy. There was 14 fucking cashiers.
It looks so wrong. It all looks, and I'm not used to it. I don't know if I ever will get used to it. It's like there's a bunch of extra space up front now, but it kind of looks like they don't know what to do with it, and it's just awkward looking.
I think that's the only thing when it comes to the cashier experience of being checked out with your groceries, the only place that still hits that, and it's sad to say it, but I have no other word, nostalgia feels,
yeah,
is Costco.
Yeah.
And it's only, you know why?
Yeah.
Because they're just too damn busy. That's it.
Yeah, Costco's the only like remnant of that is because everyone goes there.
And the only reason why is because it's so damn busy. It's like, you have to. Like, with Target, it's just more of like, I waited 10 minutes, motherfucker. At Ralph's, I waited 10 minutes, motherfucker. With Costco, it's like, No, everyone man, we got like thousands of people.
Like, does Walmart even have that? I've never been to a Walmart.
Years. So great. I'm glad you brought up Walmart. It's the same thing. It's like, it's not like a single line of self-checkout like a Target is. It's like a little circle of like 10 checkouts. So it's like a little circle hub where you wait in one long line to go into the circle hub.
Yeah.
And then you see 10 registers close.
Going back to the self-checkout, and like, you could just rob the place. You could just walk out with the
item. That was Bill Burr's joke. Yeah. Like, I'm gonna fuck. That was every comedian's joke back in.
I had this like thought, not like I earnestly wanted to rob the Home Depot, but like, I think this was yesterday or like this weekend. I went to Home Depot very, very recently, and I brought a tape measure because I was buying some items. I was looking for a certain item. And I was looking for a certain item of a very specific size. So I brought a tape measure. And my tape measure is made by Milwaukee. And it's like pretty new-ish. I probably had that for like 5 years maybe.
Okay.
But it's new. It's new-ish looking that it might as well look like I just popped it off the shelf there.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that always worries that like, like, I'm going to be at the, I'm going to be checking out my items, of which at Home Depot, it's like almost all self-checkout.
It is only self-checkout.
I'm worried that like an employee is going to see me pocketing.
Yeah.
That it's never happened, but I'm always worried they're going to see me pocketing my, my tape measure and thinking I did not pay for that. Like, no, I've had this. I brought this in with me.
This is my tape measure. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
I promise you, I am a hardworking man. I am a man of the handiwork. And I brought the tape measure because I knew specifically what I was looking for. Do not let my long hair that I have at this moment in time fool you, or my skinny ass muscles. Yeah, I don't look like a pot-bellied dad, but like I assure you, like I mean business. That I brought this in myself.
It's that Ron Swanson quote, "I know more than you." But you know, it like you're right. It's just, I like how for you and me, only being 30 years old, we're so fixated on the self-checkout bullshit, but it's like, no, you don't understand how annoying it is. Like, I understand, again, like I said with this interview, the point of Jester saying, like, customer service and experience, what Jester was saying basically is, we should give you unlimited options, which, fine, I get that. You can't argue that. But from the consumer point, me, I'm just like this sometimes. I'm like, I miss 2002 Target.
you know what I miss? Like, okay, didn't like grocery stores a long time ago would also, back when they sold like movies were on VHSs, didn't they have like VHS, like whatever was the latest movie on VHS, like on the counter that you could just pick up right then and there?
Like right, the last item in a sense before you go to the register?
Yeah.
Yes, that was all.
Like it was the candy section.
Yeah. No, that's what it used to be. DVDs did that for a bit, and Blu-ray. It was VHS, DVD, and Blu-rays. They all three did that before everything became fucking stream only and digital. That's what I'm saying, though. Like, okay, best one I could tell. Or like, if it was an anniversary edition, before Circuit City shut down, you know what was at every single register when you walked out?
Mm-hmm.
Reservoir Dogs anniversary edition.
Oh, nice. I have this memory of, like, an anniversary VHS copy of Jaws.
Yeah!
Being on the grocery store checkout counter.
Books, too!
And I thought at the time Jaws was a new movie, so like...
Oh, you thought,
cause,
yeah.
Because they were advertising it on TV, and I was like, oh, scary shark movie. And I was kind of blown away. I was like, oh, no, that movie came out in the 70s. So that must have been like an anniversary edition. Like, maybe this was like 2000, and it was like the 25th anniversary of the movie.
But yeah, no, it's interesting to see where it wasn't just candy and gift cards and the quick drink, like soda or water. No, like...
sold movies up
no,
there.
No, they sold movies, they sold books, they sold like things...
They still sell books at Target, though.
Not as much, though. It used to be like almost a library, like quick, like you could really shop.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like the movies, it was a shop. It was legitimately shopping still.
Mm-hmm.
Like a catalog.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing, but now with how... Because of COVID, how streaming really is the big thing.
Oh, those movies disappeared long before. Target, like mid-2000s, they were gone.
Target and Best Buy do not have a media section anymore.
No.
Oh, hell, you used to be able to buy new albums at the checkout. I remember the Gorillaz. One of the Gorillaz. Yeah. I forget which album. It was the one with the four pitchers.
The one Gorillaz album everyone knows and everyone has a t-shirt.
That
about.
Was at every fucking register.
Mm-hmm.
Music, books, and movies.
Yeah.
Were at every register back then, folks. Gone because of digital streaming.
Now you got to go to Barnes & Noble.
Not to a degree. You got to go to the back in Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Walmart is one of the only places that still has a physical media section. Target doesn't have it anymore. Best Buy doesn't have it anymore. Grocery stores don't do it anymore. Grocery stores used to have it all the time. Like, Ralph's had a movie section. It's insane to think about that. Ralph's, Staters, Vaughn's, fucking Albertsons had an actual movie section. I feel like I'm 50. I just became an old curmudgeon.
You have those moments like all the time, Tom.
I just recently went to Best Buy with my family, and I'm like, this is such a shell of what it used to be. Such a fucking former shell. You know, You know how jazzed I was to go to Best Buy as a kid? You know how jazzed everyone was to go to Best Buy as a kid?
Remember how awesome it was to, like, play a demo of a new game for, like, a console? Like, they had the whole, like, the controllers that would hang out. And I remember one time going to Best Buy, they had, like, a full-on giant figure of Mario and a giant figure of Sonic. I'm guessing that was the GameCube section.
It was the GameCube, yeah.
And then the other was the Dreamcast section because it was that early in my life.
Remember the big cutouts of Master Chief?
Yeah.
Do you remember demos? Really, just remember being able to play a demo while your parents shopped?
That was my first experience with Call of Duty, and I want to say it was probably... It might have been Big Red 1.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
It might have been Call of Duty 2.
Favorite. My first Call of Duty 2, Big Red 1, because there's two Call of Duty 2s.
Okay, well, the one on consoles was Big Red 1.
Yeah.
And I think that was like my first... I think that was the one, but that was like my first experience with Call of Duty was playing a demo of it at Best Buy.
Yep.
And then playing it as long as I could until my dad told me, time to go. I've got the thing that I was here for and you were just tagging along for, yeah, but it's time to go.
Remember how great that was with when you think about the family dynamic of shopping when, for example, Target and Best Buy, when they had demos for every kids to play?
Hell yeah.
You would just go to the gaming section. Get into a line because there's other kids.
Yeah.
Wait your turn to play a demo. Your parents shopped. Somehow 2 hours passed by in a blink of an eye. And then it's like this, hey, oh, what? I got everything. Let's go, kid. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can I go to the game section, Dad? Or mom?
Like. And your parents said, sure, just stay there. I'll be back in 2 hours. And they shopped for everything. They came back and picked you up. And then you just talked about, yeah, I played all these demos and it was awesome. And I played all three consoles.
Can I have this game? No, that's too violent.
Yeah. And then now...
I saw you playing that. That's not going to be in my house.
And then now when you go to the gaming section of anywhere, you're just like, ew. Like, I might as well just...
Here's the games. Here's the supporting hardware.
Here's the warranty. Yeah. Here's the online.
Sometimes there's a demo. Usually if it's like the Switch.
And only the Switch has the demo now.
Only the Switch has the demo.
And they suck. They kind of like all suck anyway.
Yeah.
They're not good demos. Remember when demos were like a good level? Like it was a good demo that you could play multiple times and have multiple outcomes?
Yeah.
Nope. You know what? When I go to video games, I just go to, and I'm shouting them out, Gameplay and a Book Off. Gameplay in Long Beach and Book Off, wherever they're at, those are the best place to get games now because it actually feels like it was back then.
And Gameplay is like one of those like mom and pop stores that has like everything.
It's the Tower Records of video games.
Yeah, it's got the, you know, they like buy used games in the way that like GameStop was like famous for, but they still do it
until
like
they suck dick.
Like the old fashioned way.
I remember the year GameStop died. I just remember that year, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm just an eighth grader.
Not literally died, but just stopped being what it was.
Like just emotionally.
Yeah.
I remember it was like 2008, honestly, and I'm just like, what happened? I remember even walking in and I could taste it.
It felt too corporate, too polished.
And I walked in once and I was like, oh.
That's what a lot of people were feeling about Cracker Barrel, I guess.
Heyo, that's another conversation.
That story is probably super outdated by the time this comes out.
And by the time we actually talk about it?
Yeah, if we ever talk about it, I don't know.
Well, that's the episode. That's the episode about
this
retail.
This is going to be a really long episode, isn't it?
We really went on a rant right now. Thanks again, Chester. Shout out to you. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Bye, everyone.